Welcome back. We appreciate you rolling with us here this afternoon as we get you ready for a humongous three-game slate in the NBA tonight. But we're going to cook it up no house advantage style here. NHA, that's right. Use our promo code AWESOMO when you sign up. You're going to get $25 matched. And on top of that, you're going to get to hang with the two of us, myself and Terry. More importantly, Tyler's producing. So technically, the three of us in chat. But Terry, you're the real reason why everybody's here. Tyler's making sure the show is up and running and looking beautiful as always. I'm here just to kill time, so you're not talking for 25 minutes straight. But everybody's coming for you.
Yeah, nobody wants that. Listen, nobody wants that. We do need those interjections. Nobody wants to hear me just go for 25 minutes straight. If you want to hear me go for an hour straight. Oh, no. I'm saying somebody's got to get in here and cut me off. I mean, look what I'm doing right now. I'm already screwing up the flow. But if you want to hear me talk for more than an hour straight, just off the cuff by myself, go check out my Fantasy Cruncher tutorial. You can hear these sonorous tones just going and going and going. That's from week one. But yeah, happy to be here with you, man. It's a fun, weird little slate we've got. Three games. Not all that exciting, but I think there are at least three interesting games, right? Pretty close point spreads, should be competitive.
Yeah, and there's one actually that I'm super interested in, not just because it's your squad that's involved here, but I've seen a lot of conversation about how the Spurs should be favored, and this is a little off this line here. So I figured, you know what? I'll bring what I'm hearing on the street right to the man himself here in Terry and see what he thinks. But you're right, with the other two games as well, it's a rematch with the Celtics and Lakers from earlier where LeBron was really just coming off of that first injury stretch. And now the Lakers are healthy. Clearly no Jaylen Brown looks like, right? So yeah, I think you're right. There are three games that provide interest at the very least tonight. And we'll see what we can do from a no house advantage standpoint.
Yeah, look, I mean, the biggest point spread on the board is that Celtics Lakers game with the Lakers favored by a whopping 2.5 points at home. So, I mean, that's a great game. It's a rivalry renewal. I'm always going to get up for a Celtics Lakers game. They're just always good. So that's a definite one for at least, you know, an interesting spot to watch. I'll be watching my Knicks Spurs. I can forgive anybody who wants to like go to dinner or flip over to a favorite sitcom or something at that point. But I think that first game, assuming that all the stars are available in that first game of the night, I think that's an interesting one as well with the Nets and the Mavs. That's should be a good shootout type of a game, assuming everybody's on the court. And I think we've got some interesting spots.
Yes, and I'm sorry to jump in, but I was going to go right off that last point you made, which is, you know, assuming stars are in and then the trickle-down effect of it. One guy we talked about last week, this was right at the beginning of Blake Griffin's exit from the rotation and really the dangers, because on no house advantage, well, you'll see Tyler will put up all our plays from a point standpoint. If you think you're going to get ahead of the game here by rostering somebody tonight as a 10 point play who ain't going to see a second of action, then you are the one who's actually SOL. You're not going to get any points for people who are out. You really have to walk that thin line. But let's start with Blake Griffin, really, and because he has a ton of 100s coming up on the unders here with actual numbers projected. I guess my biggest concern, though, Terry, is how much do you think we'll actually see Blake Griffin tonight? Because even if we get a minute or 2 minutes worth of Blake Griffin, it's worth putting in one of these 100s next to his name, I would think.
Yeah, I think the issue there is that Blake averaging 0.0 over the last three. Looks like we haven't gotten him in at least five, according to my board here. So I'm just not expecting to see the dude, right? We've got him projected for a minute and a half just so that he's sitting on the board. Last 10, he's averaging 19.6, but zero over the last five. So, I mean, he's just lost his spot in that rotation right now. I don't believe we've got any major news, just looking at our starting lineups page for the Nets, that would change that situation. We've got Blake currently listed on the inactives. We put a few guys down there that we don't expect to play in certain situations. So, like, Kemba's on the inactives, despite the fact that he's going to be healthy. He'll ostensibly be sitting on the bench and available. But we shuffle it around so that we can show you what the rotation looks like. And basically everybody that we expect in that rotation for the Nets, for better or worse, is expected to be there. So I don't see a situation where we get Blake here. I'd love to be able to book something at 100% for an NHA line. We always look for those, but I think that one's just too much of a question mark on the minutes.
So really realistically looking at this, sorry, did my camera go just now?
Looks like you did. Yeah. How about that? We can still hear you, or at least I can hear you. You're back.
That's weird. I think Tyler just had it with my shit and was like, you know what? Let's get this guy out of here slowly but surely.
This guy.
So, all right. Who can we target here? Because you're right. We've got Walker. Now, Bazemore is up there in this category. We're also looking at Sterling Brown, who's right there hovering. Some of these guys do have numbers, though, that are projected next to them. So I think it's worthy, as you mentioned, with both Griffin and Walker, who else we need to be aware of that is projected to do something, but realistically wouldn't be playing at all.
Yeah, so I would assume that we're not going to see Kemba again here. We haven't seen him the last 3 or 4, 23 minutes, 5 games ago. And basically Tibbs did announce like, hey, I'm pulling Kemba from the rotation. He's not going to be playing. That said, Tibbs did say yesterday or the day before that he plans on making some more changes, whether that means Kemba's going to step back in a secondary role into the rotation, whether that means we're going to see an Obi Toppin start. God only knows what Tibbs has in mind. I really don't feel all that comfortable guessing at it. I don't think it's going to be Kemba. I would expect that we're not going to see Kemba again. But this is one where if Kemba does get even 8 minutes off the bench as like, we're blowing him out and Quentin Grimes get out there, Kemba, hey, let's, give you a couple of minutes so you can stay in form. Maybe they throw that to him. He can get to, some of these things. Well, no, not really. Actually, uh-huh. Looking at 13.5 points, he's not getting there. So yeah, if you get him in that situation, then I guess there's value in going to those spots, but I just don't expect him to play. I don't think we're going to see him.
So where to begin here? Is there any pathway? Because you're right, you don't want to run the risk, and this is why the overs will always be dangerous for a guy like this. But you walk a narrow path if you wind up getting enough activity, a minute, 2 minutes, whatever it may be, off the bench. So looking at where we have some of these guys in that situation, where do you really risk whether or not they're playing in the rotation? Is there a name right now at that top, maybe in that 100 to 96 percentile to begin outside of, Marcus Smart, for example, Josh Richardson, some of these guys now start to pop in who may be playing a little more?
Yeah, and that's what I'm looking at here on the board. We've got sorting for the unders, like we're talking about, where we've got all these, hundreds, 99s, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just kind of looking for the guys where we actually have minutes projected. So you asked if there are names. There are a couple of names. Two of them happen to be Brown, with Sterling Brown and Bruce Brown. I like the PRA on both of those guys for the under, and we've got both of those guys projected for actual like rotational minutes, right? We've got Bruce Brown projected at 15.8 minutes tonight. We've got Sterling Brown projected at 11. Over the last three, Sterling has averaged 17. Bruce Brown's averaged 16.3. Sterling's had the uptick of not having a few of the rotation pieces, Porzingis, et cetera, in that rotation, where Bruce is just kind of getting his regular run. So with both of those guys projected to be getting fair minutes, we've got them going under 99% of the time for both. Bruce Brown, 15.5 PRA. We've got him at a 9.08 in roughly his average minutes. Sterling Brown, similar situation, 12.5. We've got him projected at a 6.4, 99.9% probable. So either one of those, assuming we have no news that emerges, like if you get the Porzingis out, he's probable to play. He practiced yesterday. I would try. And if you get Luka out, I would probably knock back the Sterling one, just expecting that he might vault up to, the 15, 16, 20 minutes we saw him play over the last few. He's averaging 17, like I said. So it depends. Just keep an eye on that minutes projection. That's really the way to judge that one.
Yeah. So healthy Luka, you mentioned he's probable, right? So chances are that not only is he playing, that it's not going to be, that was Kristaps. I apologize.
Well, both of them, they're both questionable / probable. They both practiced yesterday. They've both missed time. Brown's a guard, but it's just a situation where you're going to get a just healthy mix of minutes if one or both of those guys scratches. Right. So like for general DFS purposes, that would give a major bump to Jalen Brunson, who I like for DFS purposes in general anyway. But when we're just looking at the available minutes, a guy like Sterling, who we've seen get in the mid to high teens over the last few games, but with those guys coming back, we have him knocked back to 11 minutes. If that jumps back up into the 16, 17 minute range, does he maybe double his PRA projection? It'll probably still be projected under, but it's not going to be a 99%er. That's the big difference there. So correct. It's just a matter of watching those minutes projections.
Absolutely. And this thing here would lock in at 12.5. You get in on the under there with the assumption that both Luka and Kristaps are playing. Well, mm-hmm. you got a really good shot of that going under if you're only going to get 11 minutes total, right, for Brown. I mean, to get 12.5, 13 PRA combined in 11 minutes is an ask.
Absolutely. We're talking about, if we're looking at Sterling Brown, a guy who in his 12.8 minutes, so in more minutes than we're projecting him for, the 12.8 minutes, he's averaging 3 points, 3.2 rebounds, and 0.8 assists. It's a 46.3% true shooting and 8.3% assist share and 11.6% rebounding. If he got out to that 17-minute range again, could he get to that 12.5 PRA? Yeah. But if we're talking about 11, 12 minutes somewhere in that neighborhood, I don't see it. I think he falls well short.
I am interested in we'll go back and forth with the overs here as well, because we have a couple that are higher percentages than Westbrook. But the first real big name that we have so high up, pardon me, on the board here, right? Normally, unless there's an injury or some sort of bigger concern, we don't usually see somebody like averaging 10.5 rebound, or pardon me, the line at 10.5 rebounds coming in at 93% under for that. I do know that we have him also under for assists as well, based off the projected line. Do you think the line is just too high for Westbrook?
Yeah, 10.5, it does seem a little bit high in the on the rebounding line. He's averaging 8 per game in his 36.2 minutes. We've got him projected at 35 minutes. That's a you know, just rounding basically. If he's at 36, 35, it's, you know, a half a rebound, whatever it equates to. I think we've got him projected pretty accurately. We've got him at a 7.55 projection, right around what he's averaging. Could Russ go out there and grab 10.5 rebounds in 35 minutes? Absolutely. But based on what his numbers are showing, based on what his rates are giving us for this season, for this situation, with both LeBron and AD expected to play, this is probably a pretty high line. So I think Alex's projection is a lot sharper than that 10.5 line. So I like the under. And even if it's not, you know, a 93%, or even if you want to give Russ credit for, you know, maybe a couple additional rebounding opportunities in this game, I still think it's a pretty firm one. You know, if it drops into the 80s, we're still pretty happy about that. So I like that one. I would probably be more inclined to take that, just on the nature of what's going to be going on the court, than I would shoot for his assist one.
Yes.
The assists. The assists also follows, you know, the same logic. We've got him projected 7.79. He's averaging 8.6. But it just, you know, if you think about what each one of these guys is most likely to be doing, I know Russ is a great rebounder, but you've got LeBron and AD both in there grabbing rebound shares. LeBron handling a lot of the assists is what takes away from some of the assist share for Russ. But it makes more sense in my head to go to the rebounding one before the assist one.
Yeah, I was a little surprised that there's that big of a difference in the assists. Rebounds makes total sense, especially as you laid it out with the two superstars back now alongside Russ here. But the difference, really, even with assists, right, looking at 7.79, now granted, you know, for at 8.5, it's still an under, and you're going to get a pretty good percentage of that going under. But I was a little surprised that Alex and Osimo don't have Russ projected for a higher number. It's not that I had a problem with the 10.5 for the line that No House Advantage has. I was just a little surprised that we don't have him projected on site. Alex and Osimo don't have him projected upwards towards 8.5, maybe like an 8.6, 8.7 assist night, based on what you laid out, where you now have more scoring opportunities around him.
Yeah, but you do also have to factor in the, you know, just the idea of how much LeBron's going to handle the ball, how much, you know, there is to do where he's distributing the ball. So it's, if it comes in, you know, we've got him projected 7.5. Are we wrong if he comes in at you know, 8, if he comes in, you know, a little, it's not necessarily saying that he's going to come in with a minimal assist kind of a night, sure. But for a guy who's averaging 8.6, 7.5, if we're taking a minute and change away from him, it kind of makes sense that we're at that level. Like, I think if we had him projected for 36.2, you'd probably see that 7.55 look more like, you know, 8.1, something like that. Maybe we'd have him a half an assist under. And some of the average still does have those games without LeBron and AD out there baked into it. So I think it makes sense. It is a little surprising to see for a guy who we've seen average a triple-double in other situations, though.
So this is interesting, just to follow up on that, because, and we have to get to your guy here, Emmanuel, quickly here, because he's all over on the overside of this. But before that, is this an example here where No House Advantage has yet to adjust, and our projections have adjusted for the projected return, not the physical return, but what the actual projections are, including ceiling games for both LeBron and AD? Like, is that the difference, is that we're factoring in LeBron's back, holding the ball a little bit more, whereas NHA is looking more so as far as just without seeing what these trio really is at its height. And there's more of an expectation of Russell taking over more.
Yeah, I think we're just making those adjustments a little bit more quickly, a little bit sharper than some of the sites. And that's to be expected. And that's where we gain edge over some of the books, over you know, Vegas, over the sites. That's why you want to get behind the scenes and get to these projections that we're all loving so much. But like just looking at, I just pulled up Wowie. And for this year, if we have LeBron and AD on, we get Russ at a 36.2% assist share in their numbers. And then if we take LeBron off, that jumps by 5 percentage points, right? So we see a distinct difference in the opportunity there, just taking a significant ball handler like LeBron off the court. He's a guy who's just, he's involved in everything, right? He's an excellent passer in his own right. So taking that guy off the court, there's just more to do in terms of distribution for Russ.
So no house advantage and the combination of and these are free here for you on Awesemo, our NBA projections for NHA free on Awesemo. You should be using those alongside us and getting you ready for this ticket tonight in the NBA. Let's flip to the overs real quick because we have some favorable numbers as far as the percentage that it hits over, and four of the top five that are workable. Some of these have not been totally adjusted yet, taken off, but four of the five to begin with Emmanuel quickly. And then the fifth is LaMarcus Aldridge. So as you and I know, maybe others who are just new here do not, you can only use one guy. So if you want to roll with an Emmanuel quickly prop, if you can only choose one, even though we have four that are 92%+ of hitting. So what for quickly, at least, is the one that you think is the easiest to get to, the most manageable to get to?
I mean, I think the PRA up at the top makes a ton of sense. The PRA is set at 8.5. We've got quickly projected to score 11.5 points, real points. So we've got him just on points going over that. We've got him projected to put up a points plus assists at 14.33. So nearly double the PRA in just points and assists. If he grabs a single rebound, he's going to help you get there. I just think that's way too low. We've got him essentially double what that line is. And the line is probably not anticipating what the role might be tonight. We've got him projected at 24 minutes. Over the last three games, he's averaged 32, and that's with a 20-minute game baked in there the last time out. He was in foul trouble. He picked up three fouls in the second quarter. It cut into his third-quarter rotation, and then Tibbs went a little haywire and had Quentin Grimes out there for the entire fourth quarter. It was a strange closing unit. They were getting lit up by, I think, like 15, 16 points, so it didn't really matter. But quickly didn't see his typical run. So I would expect quickly to land somewhere between the 24 we've got him projected for and, like, let's say 28 minutes. So if anything, it's going to be higher. I don't expect another 20-minute night out of quickly. I don't expect him to be under that. So I think if anything, we've got him projected a little low, and we've got each one of these coming in at 90%+ probability, 98% on the PRA. Seems like kind of a no-brainer for one of the top three spots on the card for NHA.
We have a couple that are favorable for LaMarcus Aldridge, but none better than the rebounds. I mean, it's nearly a full three rebound higher what we have projected Alex and Awesemo on site versus that 4.5 point line, Terry. And it's getting us a 93.19% chance of hitting.
Yeah, I do not understand that line, really. He could come out there without sneakers on and grab 4.5 rebounds. Yeah, yes. He could come out there and hop around on 1 foot and grab 4.5 rebounds the way he's playing right now. It's just surprising. 12% rebounding share on the season. He's averaging 5.9 in 23.6 minutes collectively for the season. We've got him projected at 29 minutes for the night. If you do the math there, that's pretty easily tracking for the over. We've got him projected for 7.3 rebounds. I think that even might be a little light. We've seen him play 33 minutes a game over the last three, and that's just consistent run, 33, 34, and 32 in each of those, 28, 29, the two games before that. So assuming that he's going to be out there for his regular rotation minutes, and he is a firm part of this rotation at those minutes as kind of the third banana right now, I think it makes total sense to just smash this one and drop it into one of the high numbers, you know, the second, third or fourth spot at worst on the card.
All right. So we're winding down here, final couple of minutes or so. And I'm looking, we've moved past really anything workable in the 90s. Actually, I take that back. We have one more for a guy that we have not mentioned yet that's sitting in the 90s. Technically, Reggie Bullock is there at 89.83 for his points and assists. Thad Young sitting his PRA at 91.5 to go under that 14.5. And the reason why I bring that up in that manner is because we're close to hitting, outside of Alec Burks, and you have, I think, a combination of three different overs to hit. We're in the 80s now. And this is a rarity that you and I, and because it's a shorter slate, clearly, but this is a rarity. We're going to make you work in the final couple of minutes where you're going to have to look between an 85 and an 86%. Or normally it's just gift wrap to you, Terry, 199, 98.
Yeah, we're getting awfully thin with only 91% probability of hitting one of these picks. My God, it gets awfully thin arrow up here. But yeah, I think the Thad one for a PRA at 14.5, we've got him projected 10.76. I think they're expecting more minutes than we're likely to get out of Thad. He's just kind of, he's not in the doghouse. It's just they're a rebuilding squad. Everybody knows what Thad Young is. He's just miscast on this team. And we were talking about it on one of the strategy shows. I think it was me and Matt the other day. Just looking forward to seeing Thad get traded out of this situation so that he can go back to playing a good chunk of rotation minutes and be a relevant player again. We've got him projected at 13 minutes. He's averaged 12.3 over the last three. Last time out, he played 8. 4 games before that, he played 6. So, I mean, it's just a matter of the minutes. I don't think he gets there. It's maybe a little tighter than the 91% we've got it at. Like if you see him get 15 minutes, could he approach that? Could he get to, you know, that kind of a range? If you see him get to any additional run, Devin Vassell, I think, is still out for this team. So there's a chance that he gets additional run here against New York. I just don't see it really coming true. So I'm comfortable with that one. The other one that we skipped over in the 90s, up at 97.53, because I think it's another situation where they've got him probably projected for a few additional minutes. If we have Jaylen Brown in, I think the Josh Richardson's PRA is a smash spot. We've got him projected at 9.61 in a 19-minute projection tonight, and they've got it at 14.5. So that's a 97.5 that you mentioned it, but I didn't talk sure about it. So I think we should circle back since it's getting so thin up here. Absolutely. So that was one worth mentioning for sure.
Absolutely, man. No, I think, and we'll take anything we could get. Lastly here, just looking back at the overs, I know I mentioned Alec Burks there. He's actually, the PRA is hovering at 90. So we have 3 in a row, and then it gets a little thin. And look, we already picked LaMarcus Aldridge. Burks is down there. We picked one from Quickly. You're at 81.4 by the time you get to Patty Mills. Let me at least make an argument for Malik Monk in the sense that his minutes are there and somebody other than the starting five is going to be playing tonight against Boston. He seems to be getting a large share of bench minutes.
Yeah, we've got him projected out at 26 minutes over the last three. He's averaged 28. That's a 29, 33, 22. They talked about him on the strategy show. He got really hot in the fourth quarter of the last game, ended up playing the entire fourth quarter, which does slant that minutes average slightly, but it's only a 9.5 points plus assists line. So that's not that difficult. 12.9 is what our projection's at for 26. A few additional shots go down and he bursts through that. But I mean, we're talking about a guy who in 24.4 minutes, so a minute and a half less than what we're projecting him for, averages 10.3 points and 2.2 assists. So he's right there anyway. He's averaging more points than what the line for the points plus assists is. Seems like kind of an easy spot to pick off. We've only got it at 81, and I think that's got to do more with the minutes projection than anything else. Like we're at 26, but if he sees 20, maybe it's a little bit more dangerous, right? So it's a trickier spot, but it's definitely worth paying attention to.
You mentioned Jalen Brunson, his assist from 3.5 to 4.8, 80. But again, now you're slim pickings down here. I don't think we've ever done an NHA show where we've actually picked somebody at 79%. That's how good the life has been for us here with our three projections.
And that's something worth hammering home is just how easy this becomes when you've got Alex's picks and probabilities like this. If you're talking about things that are 90-ish percent likely to happen, unless something goes completely haywire and you're stringing together a card from those picks, like you are sitting pretty pretty, and you're not having to put too much thought into it. You're just going down the list of these picks. But yeah, today's a little bit thinner of a board. And look, we have three games to work from, so we can understand that's why we're getting a little bit thinner of a list. That said, I like the Brunson one, yeah. And we've still got the possibility that Luka doesn't play, that Porzingis doesn't play, and we know what that does to this guy. It just gives him way more minutes, gives him more opportunity on the court. The assists go up. The points, the fantasy points per minute actually comes down slightly, but there's just more for him to do and more time in which to do it. So the overall contribution jumps significantly in all categories. But we're talking about a guy that in his 29.1 minute average across all situations, so with Luka and Porzingis included, averages 5 assists. We've got him projected at 29 minutes. The line is only 3.5. That seems like a no-brainer in any situation. I think under any circumstance with his teammates, you put that in and you're just happier and happier about it if the other guys scratch.
100% agree on that one, man. All right, we got a break. We'll be back coming up next week and continue to give more insight, advice, hopefully a larger slate the next Tuesday for us on No House Advantage. But here's the thing. If two games or 12 games, you're taken care of. The projections are free for you on Osmo. You have optimal lineups where we're basically telling you one step further. Okay, you're not plugging and playing. Here, just take this and put it into NHA. Make sure you thank Terry here. We'll be back next week as well. Thanks to Tyler producing. Hit that thumbs up button, please. And make sure you're subscribed here to the Osmo DFS odds and season-long fantasy channels as well. And have a great week.